we call the speaking gifts. The gifts of the Spirit that refer to speaking. Now, we do know last week, we dealt with the gifts of evangelist and pastor teacher. That was the last thing we looked at concerning the gifts. And they are the permanent offices in the church. The apostles and prophets were the foundational gifts and have passed all. But prophecy, we're going to learn tonight, here in this list, prophecy can have more than one meaning. And we'll look at that, but let's read our text. Romans 12, 6 through 8. We'll be dealing with these gifts until the end of this series about spiritual gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we ask you, Lord, to open up our understanding, give us spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've blessed our church with and every church, your body. And Father, we ask you tonight that all of us would be trying to discern our own spiritual gift or gifts that we might effectively serve you. And Father, I pray tonight when we touch on these spiritual gifts, Lord, help us to understand, and also, Lord, to realize that the prophets have passed away, but prophecy in this sense, Lord, that we're going to look at tonight is still a gift that we need to proclaim and we need to preach or proclaim the truth that you've already written and revealed. So, Father, help us in this area. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Prophecy. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, when we look at letter A, we're looking at the speaking gifts. Prophecy is the first one on the list. And probably would only deal with this tonight because of time. So when we break down, number one, the definition of prophecy, we get into these words in the original language, which is similar to English, prophetia, which has two words, pro, meaning before, and phemi, to speak. So these are the root words. So when you think of the basic meaning of prophecy, it means to speak before. Now, the interesting thing is, it doesn't necessarily mean to speak before in terms of time, which we always think of that, don't we? Like, if you're prophesying, then you're telling something beforehand. But this actually means to speak before in terms of an audience. And we'll see that in the Bible. So when we look at the term today, and we'll look at the types of prophecy in the Old Testament, New Testament, and then we will also look at today. What do we mean by the gift of prophecy today? Now, generally speaking, it is a communicative gift. It's the gift to communicate. And we do find a definition over here in 1 Corinthians 14:3. If you just take the Word of God and remember there were things that Paul was correcting in the church of Corinth, And it says here in verse 3 of chapter 14, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So he's comparing tongues and prophecy, saying, no, I would rather that you prophesy because you're speaking, you're proclaiming truth for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what we're doing when we look at that term, you're speaking God's word unto men. That's what prophecy has meant in the word of God. And we do know that when we look at part of God's will for prophecy was to give revelation. Obviously, that is gone because we have the whole word of God. And in it, and we have some warnings, and we'll look at that later, that you can't add under the prophecy of this book. So the only thing that we can do today is proclaim this truth that's already revealed. And we do that, we speak it forth. We proclaim it to other people. We proclaim it in the audience of a church. And I did mention before that we could say this is preaching or proclaiming the truth. When you think about God in history of dealing with men or mankind, there's always been a time when that gift was exercised because God always had someone speaking his word. So number one, we see the definition. Number two, we see the types of prophecy or the categories here that we're going to put it in. There's basically two categories, and it is revelation, letter A, or reiteration, letter B. So that's pretty easy to break down. The gift of prophecy was revelation. And that's the part that we do not do today. We're not revealing anything new. We're not revealing some truth that no one knows. We're not predicting the future, telling someone's future. It's not what we're talking about. We are simply proclaiming the truth of God's word. But revelation, we do know in the Bible, God was giving his revelation to man. And there were times when God had to give them something that never had ever been before disclosed. It was never said. It was never known before. And God spoke this forth. He revealed it unto, well, I think we have later in it, in the lesson, it talks about 2 Peter 1:21, and we know that, and it's good to bring that out now. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this was God's divine revelation. These men, and this is primarily speaking of the Old Testament, Peter, because they were still giving forth the New Testament, although it does apply to that. Because we do know that the New Testament also is inspired by the Holy Ghost, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says. So when you look back at the Old Testament, there was a lot of divine revelation. How do you think Moses could write about creation? He wasn't there. God had to give him all that revelation. And so that's the prophecy that most of us think of when we think prophecy. Okay, this is something that's revelation. Now, Ezekiel said it this way in Ezekiel 7:1. It is stated here in your notes. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and that's where prophecy is. Amen. Revelation. The word of the Lord came unto him. That was something that God gave him. And the prophets, many of them open up their books stating the same thing. How about the Amos? He said this in Amos 3:8, The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? See, God gave forth the word. Now they need to go and proclaim it. That's what they're saying. How about Jeremiah, this famous passage when he tried, you know, remember, to not speak God's word? He said, But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He had to preach. And this is God's word was given unto him. It was burning in his heart, and he had to speak forth that revelation, and we have the book of Jeremiah, amen, because of it. So when you think of prophecy, there's two types or two categories, revelation and secondly, reiteration. And this is simply speaking forth that which is already revealed. We're proclaiming the truth as it is written. It's already revealed by God. So now that we're talking, I think of the New Testament, Revelation 19:10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, we are proclaiming Christ today. We are proclaiming Christ. And that is what we do through the New Testament. I think of all the New Testament books is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the Old Testament as well. And so we think of, we are giving testimony. We are proclaiming Christ today. And the prophets, just like today, they had to preach sometimes. Remember, they would also quote other books, other prophets. They had to preach and proclaim something that was already common knowledge. And they had to preach messages that God had already given. It wasn't like they were getting this message like by revelation. No, God already gave the message. Now they got to go out and proclaim it. So number three, we see prophecy in the Old Testament. Again, yes, they proclaim God's word. And we do know a lot of it was future proclamation. Some of it was present proclamation. Some of it was reiteration of past proclamation. Sometimes they would preach about what God had already done. So we can't say that prophecy in the Bible is only prediction of some future event. That's only one third of its capacity in the Bible. So, yes, one third of the Bible, prophecy is predicting the future. That is true. When you think of the gifts in the Old Testament, the gift of prophecy ranked number one. Because God was giving forth His revelation. And everything that God proclaimed that He wanted for us today was recorded. They had to proclaim this. They had to get the knowledge and divine revelation from God. And that's where we come back to 2 Peter 1:21, speaking of them, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This was God giving them revelation. And the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when you think of the entire Old Testament, we can say it is the proclamation of God. So we see prophecy very clear in the Old Testament. Now we see prophecy number four in the New Testament. So we look at the New Testament, we know that prophecy was just as vital because God was not done revealing His truth yet or Himself. And we think of some examples when it would be interesting. There are a series of messages about the mysteries. There's many mysteries in the New Testament. So God disclosed all of his mysteries in the New Testament that they didn't know in the Old Testament. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to the apostles his will. Colossians 1:9. And then remember the promise that Jesus was telling the apostles there in the last week before he died, that they were going to remember. And I know that we actually apply that to us. And I'm saying by application, it's okay. But by interpretation, that was the promise to the apostles that they were going to remember all things. And they were going to be able to write all things as the Spirit gave to them. That's the guarantee of the New Testament. In fact, he said he's going to guide you into all truth. A-L-L, and here is all truth. Because he fulfilled what he promised the apostles. All truth. So that's an important thing to remember when you get to those promises. Now, some of them do apply to all believers, don't get me wrong. But Jesus was very specific about future revelation to the apostles, and it guarantees that we have all of it today. That's very weighty if you go back to that and you understand that and you proclaim that to someone when they say, well, God's still giving truth today. Well, take them back to that. John 14 and 15 and 16, those promises, he said all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth, and he did. And he said he's going to help you remember. and he said there's things that you can't bear right now. And he's going to show you them in the future. See that very specific promises about revelation to the apostles. And so it's important that we understand, yes, prophecy was so important. And we know that everything that they wrote down, go to 2 Timothy, and like I said, 2 Timothy 3:16, by this time, God was already putting together the New Testament. Remember, this is the last book that Paul wrote. And so, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When he says all Scripture, yes, it does include the Old Testament. It does include that which the Lord was giving, because they had scriptures. They had the writings now. It was coming out to each church. They had the letters. Remember, they had to circulate the letters. And so all of this was going on. He says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this is what God was doing in the New Testament. Now, we have prophets in the New Testament. We have apostles. And they exercise the gift of prophecy. They may speak something for the first time. And we have a lot of that in the New Testament. As I mentioned, mysteries and different things that... Remember what God gave to Paul. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's a mystery that the Old Testament saints did not have, but it was revealed to Paul. Many more. Sometimes the prophecy was doctrinal. We know they gave a lot of the apostles' doctrine. Sometimes it was practical. Here's an example. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Remember, Timothy was given a gift. And so 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul begins to instruct him. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So there were some prophecies regarding his life. That's just the way it is. And then we see in 4, chapter 4, verse 14, same book, same 1 Timothy. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So we see this being a practical, you know, not doctrinal. This was something that God was working in Timothy's life. How about Agabus? Go to Acts 11. Remember, Agabus was the prophet that the Lord sent and prophesied concerning the famine in that time. In Acts 11:27, it says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signifying by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So here we have a specific prophet here, Agabus, and he is telling them what's going to happen with the famine. So we see there was revelation in the New Testament, and we know that. There was an office of a prophet. Remember, the office of a prophet was temporary. It was foundational. We don't have prophets today. We don't need them. All we need now is the gift of proclaiming the truth already written. All we need today is the gift of preaching the truth that's already revealed. That's it. So we make a clear distinction between the office and the gift. Revelation or reiteration? The only thing we have today is reiterating, proclaiming what God already revealed. And that's what we're going to end. And I think I can end this today. That's good. Number 5 here. Prophecy today. Prophecy today. So prophecy today is still proclaiming God's truth. This is still what God desires. Why? Because it is vital to proclaim God's truth. Amen? And that's when we think of prophecy again, I go back to that example in 1 Corinthians. You may want to go back there to chapter 14 because we're going to look at another passage later. But remember, prophecy ministers unto believers. 1 Corinthians 14:3, we already read that once. And Paul was correcting them for their abuse of the gift of tongues. And he's trying to tell them how, you know, this is important because look at the benefit here, the blessing. It says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Then he goes on in verses 24 and 25 later in the same chapter. He's saying, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. And so, prophecy ministered to believers and unbelievers. You see, when God's word is preached, think about what God does. He does bring this conviction. He does deal with people's hearts through the word of God. Amen. He does show them that they must worship God, and he's their God, and he's the one they need to turn to. And this is what God is talking about here. It's not that we're standing up saying, oh, I know what's in you and I'm going to tell you everything about your life. That's what people think prophecy is today, right? At least in Africa. I don't know if you've ever been in around that so much. Maybe not, but it is like bread, you know, down there. It's everything. Everyone goes to find out from the prophet what's going to happen and if they're going to get rich, if they're going to get married, if they're going to get a job. That's all they depend on, and it's so sad. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 is a good text to kind of end when we look at prophecy in the sense of application here, because it gives us, you know, that passage in 1 Thessalonians where it gives you these short commands, short exhortations. And he's telling us in 1 Thessalonians 5 several different things, and I want you to see this. Verse 16, he says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Now remember, in the original language, we have no punctuation. Very little punctuation, very little divisions of verses or chapters. So that's something we need to consider. And if you look at verses 19 and 21, it's very clear. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. What's the practical application? Don't hate preaching. Don't despise proclamation of truth. Why? You will quench the spirit if you do that. You've heard of that before. You know, how do you act in the service? What's going on in your heart? Can quench the spirit. That's why it's important, you know, to remain in a spirit of prayer during the invitation. You know, try not to distract, but really concentrate on what God wants to do, because maybe at that time he wants to save a soul. Or don't get distracted during the preaching. You don't want to quench the spirit. Don't get angry during the preaching. You don't want to quench the spirit. Because the spirit is working. Amen. Quench not the spirit. Despise not. Prove all things. You know, that's what it is. Prove all things. You're testing the, you know, how do you know? Because you're going to hear the word of God and you want to keep that which is God speaking to you. And we do know that God gives many to the church to proclaim the truth. Amen. We find that with the evangelists, pastor teachers. We have missionaries, pastor teachers. We have pastors. We have preachers. We even have teachers here. And they minister the word of God. All of it is used of God. We do know that we test the word of God by the word of God. How do you know what's right and wrong? What's preaching? Well, God will show you from the word of God. Is this the truth? Yes. The Spirit of God will show you. That's the test. And so God is saying here in Romans 12:6 that in the body there are those who proclaim the truth. There are those who have this gift, and we are there. It's not it's non-revelatory. It's not proclaiming some future thing or something not revealed yet. It is not a miraculous. It's non-miraculous. It's not accompanied by the miracles and signs that the apostles and prophets had. It's none of that. It's proclaiming truth to the body of Christ, as Romans 12 tells us. And he says it due unto the proportion of faith. And if you go through that whole passage, he's saying We are to do it according to that which has already been revealed, the Word of God. In fact, Jude says it, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, the faith. And that's what he's saying. We are to prophesy in proportion of the faith, of this Word. That's the standard. So it's not our subjective faith, but it's the objective faith of God's Word. And that's how we test it as well. What is truth? By the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Go to Revelation. So I would say the conclusion is today, prophesying is just proclaiming God's Word. Another word would be preaching, proclaiming, before an audience of people, declaring the truth of that God has already revealed. And Revelation 22:18 is very clear. It's a closed book, amen. We're not to add, and we're not to take away. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Some say, well, that only applies to the book of Revelation. Well, let me just tell you this. It's stated in Deuteronomy, the same warning. And it is stated in the book of Proverbs, the same warning. So the warning comes to periods when God was revealing His truth and giving His Word. He always gives this warning, and thankfully it's at the end of the book here. Do not add, do not take away from the Word of God, or you will be judged. That's what the Bible says. And so, we are warned not to add or take away. So today, brethren, all we are doing is thank God for pastor teachers, thank God for evangelists, thank God for teachers. We'll get into that. And you are going to, all we're doing is digging truth out of God's Word, proclaiming truth, sharing truth, teaching truth. That's what it's all about. And I hope we're all involved in that, even though we may not have this gift, we all can proclaim Christ. We can all proclaim the truth of God's Word. And actually, you're doing that when you start sharing scriptures with people, start testifying of Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for, yes, the office, the miracles, the signs are gone, but let's keep proclaiming God's truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your Word. We thank you for the gifted men that you have given, Lord, to your church to proclaim the Word of God. Father, thank you as we go out into the communities. Thank you, Lord, that some are very gifted in evangelism. Some are gifted in proclaiming. And we thank you, Lord, for this. Because we know that it all works together for your glory in the church. And so, Father, help us. I pray for each one here to be seeking you and praying about the gifts that you have bestowed upon the church, the body of Christ, upon the members, Lord, that all of us would really desire to know the truth about what gift we have and how we are to exercise that for your honor and glory. So continue to speak as we go through Romans 12, Lord, in upcoming weeks. We know there's gifts of service there, serving gifts that we also need to consider, Lord, as you deal in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.